Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk to our friend, Mr. Chris Miles. Miles, are you in Brooklyn for the draft? What's up, dude?
No, man. We did our mock draft last night, studio tonight here in Atlanta.
Okay, cool. Well, let's start there, dude. We have the B. Mitch and Finley mock draft coming up in an hour. And I may just steal yours. what do you think the Wiz do tonight at number 6?
You know, I think they should stand pat and take the best player available. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Whatever player is sitting there at 6, right, and you can do the mock draft 50,000 ways, would have been the first pick in the draft last year, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe second pick in the draft. So you got to look at it as, all right, look, Cooper Flagg is the player that they're saying stands out above the rest of the fray. And as I've said before, I think there are several players with potential to be just as good as their bodies and games develop. So I think you sit there at 6. If Ace Bailey falls to you, I think you hurry up, you pick up the phone, you make that call. And I think the culture that the Wizards have been building, including that trade of Jordan Poole getting out of town, no disrespect to him, but C.J. McCollum, a consummate pro, if you've ever met him or talked to him, like, they just seem to be doing the right things and making the right moves that I think they could be the team to take Ace and really mold his game in a way that he could be, you know, a potential leading scorer in the NBA down the road.
Wow. What do you see him being? Like, I think when you look at his game, the potential is all there. Like, you see his shot-making ability. It's just the shots that he makes are so difficult. You think he evolves into being somebody that's able to play on the ball? What do you see him doing?
So let me explain this to you. And I think, you know, people have this, like, way of just being parrots. So Ace went to high school around the corner from where I live now, right? So I'll start with that part. The second part, the guy that trained him when he was in high school, I used to play pickup basketball with in New Orleans, Doc Martin, okay? So he first told me about Ace about 3 years ago, and I walked in. I was like, what am I witnessing? And then I went to the Hawks, like, camp that they have and saw him again, and I said to someone, like, this kid is more talented than Cooper, right? And they were like, yeah, he is. And every time I watched him, I'm like, he's in the gym all the time. He works so hard. I mean, this kid's amazing. Now, I think what's happened is, and we've seen this with management, with kids before, and how it kind of hurts their careers, we've seen a kid be just as talented and not make it in Cam Reddish, right? Like, we've mm-hmm. seen that play out before. So those alarm bells make sense, but make no mistake about it. I mean, Greg Anthony sat there the first game he saw Ace Bailey. He's like, I've never seen a kid that age make those kind of mid-range and three-point shots. And, you know, people point to the loss against Kennesaw State. I was at that game, and I thought that was poor coaching. But when you talk to his college coach, Coach Pike there at Rutgers, he's like, Ace worked harder than any player I've ever had. He was trying to galvanize the guys to work out at 5 a.m. Like, his teammates were like, man, this guy's kind of crazy how hard he works on his game. And if you ever hear him talk, supremely confident, when you see him in all the All-Star games with all the other guys in his class, always stands out. Same thing with Team USA. So these are things that I think about Ace Bailey. And I think if he comes to Washington, that front office, the one that's in place now, I think they have all the pieces in play to really maximize his potential.
I am currently watching Ace Bailey highlights, and he's growing on me. I'll tell you that much.
He's awesome.
What do you make of the stuff with skipping all the workouts?
So here's the thing, and this is really hard for people to understand. This guy has been told, like, hey, man, you know, you're just as good as Cooper. And so his team is like, why is he coming to work out? You just talked to him at the combine in Chicago. Why does he need to come to you, Philly, when you guys have all your locker room issues? If you, Ben Simmons didn't work out for the 76ers. Now, of course, we know what happened with Ben Simmons' career, right? Was an all-star and kind of went off the rails, off the court. But with Ace, it's like that's how he feels. He's supremely confident in his skills and his game. And VJ Edgecombe is a kid that I saw a lot, too. Went to a high school that was my rival high school in New York and L.I. Lutheran, right? So, like, I really knew the coaching staff and got to know him. VJ's a different kind of kid. VJ's more like the military kid that, oh, yes, sir, you need me to show up. Yes, yes, ma'am, right? And that's really good for this NBA. That's why his stock is rising. Ace is a little different in the sense of, like, hey, I'm the supreme talent. Like, I'm a talented quarterback. Like, hey, I'm going to get the job done. I don't need to prove. If you don't want to draft me at two, a team's going to draft me, and they're going to be happy. And that's his mentality. That's how his management team is carrying it. You could feel one way or another, but I'm going to tell you this much. If I'm sitting there at six and I'm the Wizards, I'm picking him or Trey Johnson. Those are the two. Or Malawak. That's the thing. All three of those guys are supremely talented players, and they could all be sitting there at six.
So is a, you know, I'm a football guy, right? Is the personality kind of akin to some of the Caleb Williams stuff we heard before last year's NFL draft? And you,
exactly that, right? And you know me. Caleb's another guy I talked to when he was in high school, had him on my podcast, and I was like, this kid is supremely talented, supremely confident. You know what you never see Caleb Williams do? Fold under pressure.
Right.
Right? Like, you know what he does? He's going to make good passes. He's going to put up numbers. And, like, Aces, that would be a good correlation just without all the, like, extra. See, Ace doesn't have all the extra stuff.
No fingernail paint.
No fingernail polish, no, like, crazy post. But, like, that's the thing. Ace doesn't have crazy posts. Like, if you talk to him, like, you have to know how to interview Ace Bailey, right? Like, if you talk to Ace, Ace is like, what you mean? I'm the best. That's how he carries it. So it rubs some people the wrong way. But when you look at the best athletes that we, you know this, man, this is how these guys feel about themselves.
Sure.
And if you've ever watched them play, like, Doug, how does he, why wouldn't he feel that way?
Talking with Chris Miles from NBA TV on B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for B. Mitch today. What do you make of the stuff coming out about his agent? Because to me, everything that you're laying out about Ace Bailey, fully on board with, and I've never doubted any of that stuff. I believe in the kid, and I think he's supremely talented. And even some of the way that he's approached some of the stuff doesn't really bother me if he has an understanding of, hey, I'm this good, or even, hey, I know I'm probably going to get picked in this range. But then you get some of this stuff about the agent coming out. Do you think that is playing into this at all?
I 100% think that's a huge red flag, and that's the thing I'm most concerned about. And that's why I'm like, he can't go to Philly. If Philly drafts him with Joel Embiid and Paul George, now you're bringing Sharif Cooper's dad into the mix. I'm like, I don't like that. But this is kind of what I'm saying to you. For the Washington Wizards at six, the way that they've rebuilt the culture, and you don't have that locker room, like, this isn't an 18-year-old going to the locker room with, no offense to Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole. This is an 18-year-old going into a locker room with guys that be like, hey, man, this is how we prep. This is how we do this. Hey, this is our plan. This is what I'm saying about this new Wizards regime, especially covering the Thunder and knowing that there's ties to both the Thunder and Joe Dumars with the Pelicans. Like, the group that's in D.C. now, you know, they command that different respect around the league as far as understanding what it's like to build winning basketball. And I think that they could weather an Ace Bailey as opposed to in the past. I'd be like, man, you better hope you get VJ Edgecombe or Con Knipple there. You can't have Ace coming in. Like, that's what you're asking is a very real concern. And I trust what the Wizards have done the last 2 years to bring in someone like that. And I think that would be phenomenal. But I don't think that many teams are going to bump their heads and let them fall to six.
Yeah.
I can say this as a lifelong Bullets Wiz fan. I love to hear you say the people they've got put together are respected around the league and that you think that they can be kind of the right environment. Talking with our buddy Chris Miles, NBA TV. You can give him a follow at Chris Miles TV via the Rude Guest Hotline. So you don't think Ace gets there. It seems like the two dudes that will be there are Trey Johnson or Jeremiah Fears. Sounds like you lean Trey over Fears.
So, a crazy interesting thing with those two. So, and VJ Edgecombe as well. I had their EYBL Scholastic Games for the NBA actually assigned me, I think it was last March. And when I saw Fears, I said, oh, he's going to be a good four-year college player. And, oh, he's got some years left in high school. Well, like Cooper Flagg, he classed up. When I saw him in college, I was like, wait, that's the same kid? When I saw his workouts, I'm like, his body's completely different. Like, who is this kid? He's like, he just is athletically bounced off the page. Now, Trey Johnson, I think you have to understand there's certain players, when you see him on a basketball court, you just know, like, all right, that's different. Whatever, the rules don't apply to him. And the first time I called his game, he was playing against Fears, and Trey Johnson scored 11 points in, 8 points in 11 seconds. So he hit a three. His teammate, Jasper Johnson, was going to Kentucky, got a steal, threw it back. He hit another three. Team called timeout. They came down, missed the shot, threw it down. He made a layup. 8 points that fast. And when I asked him about it after the game, he's just like, yeah, you know, sometimes I get more opportunities. He was so like, this is what I do. And I'm like, all right, maybe this kid is just a little, like, doesn't understand the moment. And when I watched him at Texas, I'm like, this is just who he is. He's a scorer. You can't teach it. He's the best shooter in the gym whenever he's in there, whether it's at the combine, at a practice, with Team USA. Like, if you want to have a guy that you think pencil him in for 25 points per game in 3 years from now, he's the guy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you look at Jeremiah Fears, he's someone that I have to tell myself that I can't fall in love with. Because every single time I watch this guy, he's so incredible. But I tell myself, as you know, looking at this stuff, I can't take a guard that can't shoot the three ball. Do you think that's something that if you draft him, you obviously get the incredible athletic traits, he's still only 18 years old, do you think he's got the stroke that he can develop into a good enough three-point shooter that everything else is still fine to build off of that?
Absolutely, and so here's the thing. When I mentioned the other players, that one of those guys have to be there, including Malawak, I just wouldn't take Fears over those guys, if you're understanding mm-hmm. what I'm saying. But when I look at Fears and his feel for the game, the only player I think of is Tyrese Halliburton.
That's what I was
going
to say.
I just remember going into that draft and people being like, well, he's slow and he shoots funky and he's not that good from outside and he won't be able to shoot that in the NBA. Here we are in the NBA Finals. He hit three threes in the first quarter, game seven, and before he tore his Achilles, like, you're just like, oh, Fears has that feel for the game. So, like, when I see the percentages, I'm like, yeah, I watched him score against two other guys that are going into the draft like it was nothing before his body even developed. And when we talk about age, right, a lot of times it gets a little misconstrued because some guys develop earlier, like Cooper was this size as a sophomore. Fears wasn't even an NBA prospect as a sophomore, right? So I just think that, I don't know, he might end up being 6'4", 6'5", because his body is just now developing and he's getting way more athletic every 5 months. So I just think that he has a tremendous runway for growth that I don't know if other players have that same runway for growth.
Talking with Chris Miles here from NBA TV. It's a fascinating draft. It sounds like you like Malawach at 6'2", though, for the Wiz.
So here's the thing with him. I first saw him 2021 with the NBA Global Academy. If you guys are not familiar with what that is, now there's one for Africa, South America, Australia, like Josh Giddey's a product of it. Dyson Daniels a product of it before they went to G League Ignite. These kids don't go to high school. They travel the world playing against each other in like the G League players in like the NBA Global Academy. So when I saw Malawak catch it off the backboard and dunk against G League players when he was supposed to be a freshman in high school, I was like, what am I seeing? And then the next 3 years, I saw him just shoot three-pointers against, you know, NBA players, including Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid. I'm like, at Duke, they did not let him play his game. Like, once a team gets him into the NBA and you see that he's going to come in as, what, the fourth or fifth tallest player in the NBA, man, like, how do you just pass that up? And I hear, like, I've seen people kind of go, oh, he just rolls to the rim. I'm like, that was the weakest part of his game. What you saw at Duke was his agent and his people saying, you got to prove to people that you're strong enough to play around the basket. Like, it's like, imagine someone saying to you, just showcase the weakest part of your game. Everybody knows you can do this other thing already. And he listened to the coaching, and he did that. So that's why I'm so high on him, because I've seen him for 5 years, and he just gets better and better and better. But he's such a capable and good shooter.
Dude, you are such an encyclopedia, and just having been friends with you for a while, like, I remember when before you moved to Atlanta, how frequently you were going to DeMatha and all the local high schools. Like, you're such a hoop head that you are going to watch high school kids play. I love that about you, and I love just, like, the depth of information on all this stuff. Last thing is, I'm sure you got a busy night tonight. Trades. Not necessarily, like, the Wiz being involved, but I think we saw Jalen Green get traded for Durant. A bigger package, but Green on the move. There's talk of maybe Boston moving some of their guys. How significant do you think the trade market will be tonight around the league, impacting top five, top 10 picks?
Well, I look at both Charlotte and Utah, and I kind of go, what are you doing with picking 4 and 5? Like, really, what are you guys doing with those picks, as opposed to making trades and getting, like, multiple players with that value, right? So I look at those two teams as the targets of all of these teams trying to trade up. And I know people keep telling me Dylan Harper to the San Antonio Spurs at 2. Logic tells me that doesn't work, because you have De'Aaron Fox, you have Stephon Castle, who's rookie of the year last year, and now you're trying to bring in a guard that does exactly what they do. And it didn't work with Fox and Halliburton before in Sacramento. So, like, you're gonna repeat what didn't work in Sacramento. In San Antonio, they're too smart for that. So what I'm saying is, unless De'Aaron Fox is moving, which seems absurd since he was traded there at the deadline, it seems odd for them to draft Dylan Harper and to keep him. That's something I'm keeping an eye out on. But, yeah, I think that Charlotte and Utah will be the two targets. The teams I'm hearing that are trying to trade up the most, really, it seems as if the Atlanta Hawks, who have already been busy, they traded for Kristaps Porzingis. I hear they're trying to get into the top five because Malawak has a guarantee that he's not falling to 7. So
does that imply that the guarantee is the Wiz at 6?
No, it doesn't. So that information, I probably shouldn't say this much. That information is from the Pelicans. The Pelicans want Malawak at 7. They were told he's not going to be there. And so they're like, well, there's a couple of centers. Who else we got here? There's Derek Queen. There's, you know, Sorber, but that might be too high for those guys. And so they're kind of in a situation, like, do we trade up 2 or 3 spots to get the guy that we're targeting? But that's coming from Malawak's camp, that he has guaranteed he's not going to be there at 7. I don't know if that's involving the Washington Wizards.
Just quickly, Queen's fit in the pros.
I think, you know, Alperen Şengün is the blueprint for what he can be. And if you watch the NBA Finals, you see Isaiah Hartenstein and the way that he's able to do dribble handoffs and be such a weapon offensively. I think Queen has that kind of value for a lot of teams that are looking to be dynamic offensively. And typically, you only get guys that roll to the rim and dunk or step back and shoot threes at that position. That's his value in the NBA, and that's where a team that understands that concept with basketball will draft him.
Yeah, I think the right fit, he can help a lot. But the wrong fit is going to be bad.
Unathletic, small for the position, smaller. Right. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, if you want somebody to block shots and protect the rim, like, he's not Alex Sarr, but in fact, that's like, he would be a great compliment to him. Right? Right, yeah. Sarr out there. Queen's a great fit because he plays the completely opposite game.
Yo, thank you for your time. I know you're busy. Enjoy the draft tonight. I know you will.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one. Thanks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.